All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with Matt Coe. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. I'm feeling real sweet, if you know what I mean.
Wolfpack is the improbable run continues. NC State is on to the Sweet 16 after handling Texas Tech and surviving Oakland. It is, before we get into the games, to me, it still seems crazy. I mean, that's kind of just, I'm in awe. Every win seems like a bonus at this point. But now I'm kind of like, all right, I want more. I'm getting greedy. And I don't know. It's phenomenal to me. It's a phenomenal feeling. And I saw somebody tweet it out the other day. It's the first time they've seen an NC State fan experience real joy. And I like, and that hit home. And that resonated with me. Like, it's true. It feels like everything is like it's house money at this point almost, right? And it just feels it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to have hope. It's fun to see the evolution of this team, you know, this coaching staff. And I don't know, man. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling like I'm on top of the world. And we might have to play, you know, obviously Colorado and Marquette play. We'll get the winner of that one. I think, you know, if we pull Marquette, it might pull some state fans back down to earth a little bit because that's going to be a tough draw. But, you know, everybody's saying right now survive in advance. I can't remember exactly who said it, but I thought it was an excellent point they made a couple days ago where this team, you know, everybody's saying feels like 83, but I don't really think that they're surviving and advancing. I mean, they are playing good basketball. You know, before in the ACC tournament, it was it felt like, you know, their life was on the line because it was, and you know, they were playing very desperate basketball and they really started to click. Now they're just playing flat out good basketball. I'm on top of the world. I feel confident about this team. I feel like the stars are starting to align. And this team is playing as one unit for the first time, all season. I can't help but to just tip my cap and watch, honestly, just watch what greatness is going on right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, we'll go back to the Texas Tech game. Kyle from Gemma and Gauchos was on, and they felt pretty good about it. And State just manhandled them. Texas Tech couldn't do anything they wanted to do other than drop moving screens on us all day. We made them shoot outside. They took a lot of bad shots, and I think that was a product of our defense. They didn't get comfortable. And you know, Middlebrooks played phenomenal. You have guys stepping up who have not stepped up all year in when needed, right? You know, DJ. I'll go back to yesterday for a second. DJ Horn didn't play great. Mike O'Connell played fantastic, and the same thing in Texas Tech game. Right, Ben Middlebrooks played phenomenal across the board. 21 points and a bunch of rebounds, and I'm going to look at the box score right now. But it was off the bench. Yeah, he had 21 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks, no turnovers, 1 foul, 9 for 10 from the free throw line in 23 minutes. Like, the guy did it all. It was just a phenomenal game from him. And you know, in a game when you don't get any points from O'Connell, you only get a few from Marcel, who's been kind of off, Taylor's kind of off, you have guys stepping up like that, and that's just phenomenal. And that Texas Tech game was crazy. It was never in doubt. We go to the Oakland game, and scrappy team. State's not playing its best. I don't think we almost regressed a little bit to the mean, kind of brought back to where we were earlier in the season. I don't think we were playing great, but they still found a way to win. Diarra played good. Burns played well. O'Connell played well. You know, Horn not playing his best. He started out hot, first 7 points, and then just absolutely disappeared the rest of that game until late and into overtime. And you just had guys like O'Connell stepping up and hitting those clutch shots, you know, the last second layup at the, you know, buzzer beater for the shot clock, like that. It's just wild to see them scrap it out in a manner when you're not playing well and you have guys stepping up and you're still finding a way to win. Like, that Oakland team was scrappy. That dude, Townsend was just unreal. He was having a great day. Gohickey, Golicky, whatever that guy's name is, 6 for 17.
Golkey. I
mean, Golkey, there you go. He had 22 points, but Morcell basically wrapped him up. He was taking tough shots, and he was not going to hit the same ones he was hitting against Kentucky. Somehow he had 8 rebounds, though. That was kind
of weird. He was taking some insane looks. And, I mean, like, he's got a nice shot to him, but, yeah, no, he was tough shot maker right there. My hat goes off to Golkey. Fun player.
A tale of two different games right there. If you could just compare those two. Like, State played really well in the Texas Tech game and not so well in this game, the Oakland
game.
But they just found a way to grit it out, and it's fun to watch, man.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that this team right now, like, they're playing with a lot of energy and, like you said, house money. There was a moment there where I was getting worried because it was sloppy basketball. It was bad. It was not good. And then they kind of collected themselves. I thought there was a timeout specifically that Keats took late in the game that I thought was a perfect timeout because the team is really getting rattled. You could tell it was Oakland had gotten the lead. It was 62-61 late in the game, and I believe that Keats took that timeout there. And I thought that was just really, really good timing on his part to go ahead and just, you know, because there was a moment there where the moment just felt too big for them, and they just played down to their competition. Started out really great. You know, I thought they looked really solid. Into the first half going 2 for 12, and you could see that, you know, Oakland wasn't going to go away. I mean, they really put up a good fight. But we move on. Sweet 16, first time since 2015.
You know, I got to give credit. You know, you mentioned the timeout, but I give credit to Keats. I don't know what light bulb came on, and maybe we've talked about this before already, but the threat to lose his job has changed something in him. And I mean, the coaching style has been different. Something has clicked, and I don't know what it is. And frankly, I don't care as long as it's, you know, one of our concerns was, hey, is this a springboard or is it an anomaly? And it seems to have been – they're still riding it, right? The rotations have been pretty steady. He's not letting them slip into, you know, bad habits, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few – you know, we did have a scoring drought, which we hadn't seen in the last few weeks, but it was a 3 or 4 minute scoring drought in that Oakland game. But they rallied from it. And like you said, good timeout, good substitutions. He's not getting what he needs to out of Horn. So he was, he pulled him for a good bit of that game. The offense, defense substitutions he was doing with some of those guys.
I mean, this is all with Diarra and Middlebrooks fouling out of this game. Like, that's what's absurd to me.
Yeah.
You know, and we're such a guard heavy team. We have been under Keats, and it's almost like these last few games, it's flipped. Like, all right, we're going to ride with the bigs. And for him to still win the game down low when you only have one big man is really awesome, because we've seen this play out before where Keats has quite literally had one big man. I mean, we don't need to go back to the Manny Bates days. And it's just, he looks like a different coach. The team looks like a different team. A team that is not built. Oh, go ahead.
I wish he would have reeled in Jaden Taylor a little bit. Taylor hit that first three, and he hit one later on in the game, but it's just not his. I think the offense flows better when he is focusing on defense and not trying to score.
Yeah.
And I do get Horn was not having a great day at the guard spot, so you need somebody else to step up there. But I would like to see Jaden Taylor reeled in a little bit. Looking at the box score, though, DJ Burns and Michael Connell both played 42 minutes. 42 minutes for DJ Burns.
42 out of 45 total minutes.
That's wild from the big boy. It is wild. Double-double, 24 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists.
6 for 7 on his free throws.
6 for 7 on his free throws. Yeah, I mean, things are vibing. We talked about it after the AC tournament, but Diarra has been – what seems like the glue piece almost, and not from a team chemistry standpoint, but just because he's doing it all. He's rebounding like crazy, 13 rebounds in the Oakland game yesterday. I don't even know how many in Texas Tech. 12 in the Texas, 25 rebounds in the first two rounds.
And he played 39 minutes against Texas Tech.
Yeah, and 32 against Oakland. Another, he had back-to-back double-doubles. I mean, the guy has just been...
I could do without all the pull-up threes, though. If he wants to shoot maybe one or two threes in the corner, that's fine, but...
He shot three against Oakland. He didn't shoot... He shot two against Texas Tech. I mean, that's fine with him. As long as he's not taking bad shots, and his shot selection's been okay.
Yeah.
I will tell you that if you're into betting, the Diarra line has been half... On three-pointers, take the over every time because he's going to get one, it seems like, in all these games. Take the over on that. Somebody reminded me to take the under on Casey Morsell rebounds. That was probably the smart play.
Yeah, one more thing on Diarra. You know, out of his 13 rebounds, 12 of those were defensive rebounds. I think it was so imperative for this team to limit opportunities for Oakland. We saw what they can do against Kentucky. Obviously, Golkey is a ridiculous shot maker. But yeah, I just think that because DJ Burns is who he is and he's getting all this national attention and stuff, I feel like Diarra is kind of, if you're not a State fan, he's going to go below the radar. Like you're not really going to notice him all that much. But if you're a State fan, like this guy has, you can make an argument for MVP of the second half of the season. He's been phenomenal.
Certainly. The thing that stands out to me probably the most out of this, especially this Oakland game. And again, we're talking about guys who have, you know, they weren't playing their best. 19 assists on 29 made baskets. Like, if I go back and look at the ratio in midseason or towards the end there, what we were
it ain't about, that.
It's nothing like that, right?
No.
Even the Texas Tech game was 16 assists, I believe, on 27 made baskets. The guys are playing together. They're just, it's a different level of basketball, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put this out there. People need to stop bringing up NC State shit. I mean, we won a championship. I'm not sure what else you can do. Like, get that out of your head. It is the dumbest, most, I don't know. It's stupid. And it's just a dumb mentality. Like, it just because they have a bad stretch doesn't mean, oh, here it comes. Like, chicken littling. Stop.
It's like we're expecting it to kind of pop up because it's always in the back of our head.
Stop manifesting that. Like, just be hopeful, right? Again, we're playing with house money here, and State wasn't playing its best yesterday, and they still found a way to pull it out.
Yeah. And I don't want people – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you've seen tournaments where one guy has carried teams.
Yeah.
And we withstood that, right? Like, just get it past your head. Get it out. Like, even if we don't win the NCAA championship or NCAA tournament, it doesn't mean it's NC State shit. Like, just get over it. It's gone. It's done. Let's move past this. I just want everybody to just think positively, or just don't think that it's just because something bad happens, we get bad. You know, we're cursed. I just can't stand it. It's driving me crazy. Yeah,
you were getting heated yesterday, but I'll be honest, man. I haven't seen as much. It's been more of NC State shit is gone. I've seen a lot of that.
Good.
So
yeah.
I don't know what's popping up on your feed, but yeah, I hear you. It is annoying. It surely is. But I think a lot of that also, you know, we got to talk about it. Those refs.
That was
gosh.
One of the worst officiated games, like
for both teams, not just NC State.
Yeah,
that was bad all the way.
Sure, and I hate complaining about officials, and I try not to, but damn, both sides of that game were just. It wouldn't surprise. It was so bad. It wouldn't surprise me if it comes out in like a 30 for 30 in 3 years. Like, oh, there's crooked officials trying to rig this game, or CBS executives want the Cinderella story to carry on and try to. It was something because it was so obvious that
they were trying to keep it close.
State
was really like they were doing their thing late in the game. They were starting to pull away a little bit, and Oakland being the team that they are, still being pesky. But it just felt like no matter what, it's just the refs had something to say on any play. It didn't matter what it was, and the fact that DJ Burns, and you know a lot of people mentioned this, not seeing DJ Burns play and then going and refereeing against him or for him or for the game or however you want to phrase it, it's impossible to call his games, and it's. We saw it on full display last night. These refs don't know how to officiate DJ Burns because he was getting mauled down there.
And he wasn't in the Texas Tech game, too. The guy's, like, just jabbing him with his forearm constantly.
Yeah.
And Burns is just, you know, he's pushing back. And But you got to call it one way or the other, right? And I give them in the Texas Tech game, I thought it was pretty well officiated. But this Oakland game, it was horrendous. And, you know, there were so many egregious fouls. But the one that stood out to me the most, even the announcers called out on, was the and one for Gohickey on O'Connell. Who
Gulkey.
What? Gulkey?
Gulkey. Yeah, whatever. Like Mickanese.
Mickanese? I don't know. Whatever. He's an insurance salesman. I'll never see him again in my life.
Yeah.
And O'Connell goes for the foul and, like, tips his arm and then, you know, pulls back. And they call the foul.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And I was just like, yeah. Oh, that's so ticky-tack. Like, that's just garbage.
The out-of-bounds play where I can't remember who. I think it was Diarra had his pinky on it. I can't remember who the defender was. But it was so clearly, obviously, out on Oakland. And they spent minutes on end revealing this.
Yeah, it's off his pinky. Yeah, it hit his pinky, but it's still in the dude's hands. And then he passed it. Like, this doesn't take long to figure out.
I mean, it's March. You know, emotions are heightened. You know, I get it. But, no, they were very, very bad. But that's another thing that if State would have lost that game, I think a lot of people would have blamed the refs. But, again, I want to, you know, really talk about the point where, like, State played sloppy a lot in that game. So, I mean.
They didn't play good. Not at all. You know, it wasn't on the official. The officials did not help, but they did not play well.
Right. Well, I just don't want people to get, you know, in their head about, well, oh my gosh, you know, we went to overtime with Oakland. You know, this is the same team that just took down Kentucky, arguably the best offense in the country. And this is March. Like, crazy shit happens.
I was looking at where this crew was from. He's a financial advisor, the head ref. Yeah, I don't know. I was curious last night, so I wanted to look it up. USF. Referee to remain nameless. Fresno State. So it looks like an American crew, maybe? American Conference? Yeah. Yeah, they've done American and Mountain West games. So I don't know, man. That was trash. It was crazy. It felt like the fix was in, and State still found a way to pull it out. It just – it's awesome. It's fun. It's fun enjoying basketball again, man. It really is. Like, I don't know. It feels good.
So where do we go from here? You know,
play Marquette though. Marquette, good as hell right now, man.
Yeah,
They're playing fast. Their guards are relentless. Yeah. This could be a tough matchup here.
I think we're at the point now, at least for me. I think. When I look at March Madness, like, if you can get to the Sweet 16, I think from there on out, it's just, like, whatever happens, happens. For me, that's, like, the point, I guess, where, like, we're having the season of our lives, like, right now. This is insane what they've been able to do. So from here on out, like, you know, they can win games. I'm not counting them out, per se, but I'm very happy, very content with a Sweet 16 run with this team of all teams.
Colorado's actually closing the gap. Marquette's only at 5.
How much time's left?
10 minutes maybe. 10 minutes left and it's 64-59. These teams are putting up
that's
points.
Insane.
Sheesh.
Hope y'all took that's the wild. Over.
That is wild. But yeah, I don't know who's you know, either one of these teams, I think, will be tough matchups. Colorado plays fast. Marquette's just tough. I'd like to see Lampkin versus Burns get the Colorado center. He's a big boy, too.
Well, I know everybody was looking past Oakland. Like, I mean, I part of me was like, all right, we got Oakland. This is great. We can move on. But, man, they put up a fight.
They were tough, man. They were a scrappy team. There's a reason they beat Kentucky. I felt pretty good about the matchup, and even though we didn't play great, I didn't feel like it was a game we were gonna lose, right? Not that I was confident we were gonna win for sure, but yeah, I don't know. It was a good matchup for us versus having to play Kentucky, right? I wouldn't want to play Kentucky.
coming off their like seventh game in what was like 11 days or something like that.
Yeah.
Playing against Kentucky would have been really bad for us.
Yeah. Oh, tie game now. Colorado Marquette is tied. This is wild. The tournament's been crazy. The Oregon Creighton game last night was fantastic.
Double OT.
Both OT games yesterday were in Pittsburgh, so those fans got a treat. What was wild to me was I was curious how the crowd was going to react in the Oakland game, because during the Texas Tech Tank game, every time Burns touched the ball, the crowd went nuts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Oakland being the Cinderella, it seemed like a very Oakland-heavy crowd yesterday. I wonder how that changes depending on who the matchup is here.
You know, I don't know.
In this next game, but...
we're America's team. I mean...
somebody else said it feels weird being on this side of the Cinderella story, because, you know, Oakland was the underdog there, the 14 seed. And
yeah, didn't Rothstein say nobody roots for Goliath? Like, what are we talking about, man? Yeah.
I don't know who is David, who's Goliath in that story.
Yeah,
for us, it felt like we're the big bad
wolf.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
We were the bad guys there, but man, I should have clipped this. The Jay Wright convo on post game yesterday, where he essentially said, hey, this is a historic program. This is where they should be. Kevin Keese is doing a good job at this point getting them back to relevance. And this is what their fans expect. And he nailed it, man. And,
yeah,
you know, college basketball is better when State, Duke, and Carolina are all good. And that's exactly what he said. And you're like, yes, that is it. And I started thinking about what it would be like if we elevate the program to a point where State, Duke, and Carolina are all neck and neck. And man, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, this whole rhetoric that, you know, the ACC was bad all year, I mean, they're proving it once again. Here we are in late March, and yeah, ACC is once again killing it. So
everybody but Virginia, right?
Yeah, everybody but Virginia. Yeah, but I mean, Jay Wright's been on point with a lot of things. I liked what he said about Coach Cal and Kentucky. I thought that was spot on. His comments about us, like, he's great at what he does with broadcasting. I mean, legendary coach, awesome coach, but I like him in the booth for sure. I think as far as this season, you know, this season needs to be your kickstart. You know, you can't do what, like, Georgia Tech did, win the ACC championship and then just kind of fizzle out. Like, we all know that was kind of a fluke, but – and they're not really a historic program like that. But you can't harp on this for years to come, because then we're going to be sitting in the stands 20 years from now and be like, hey, remember that one time we had a good run, just like we do with 83 and 74. So it's like, this is great, but as NC State and Kevin Keats, they need to realize, like, they're in a new tax bracket now. Like, they can do more now. They can sit at the table and eat with the big dogs. But
raise the standard, right? I mean, this is essentially what we've been talking about for years now across all sport. Raise the standard. Change your expectations. Yeah. Your bare minimum should be getting into the tournament every year. Like, this is fun being on this run, but raise the standard is where we want to be. And I want this to be a springboard for us raising the standard, for Kevin Keats to raise the standard. You're getting all these contract extensions and bonuses for your performance.
Dude, how much has he made in bonuses? Man, he is cashing in right now.
Yeah, he got another one last night and another year in the contract for making Sweet 16. I assume all these things stack. It would only make sense. But just raise the standard, man. Go to the next level, right? That's what I want to see.
Well, respect whatever opponent's in front of you. Whether it would have been Kentucky or Oakland, March just kind of breaks out how it does. Respect the opponent in front of you and go from there. You know, you can't downplay who's in front of you. I know we're all hoping Colorado, you know, wins this game so we get to play them instead of Marquette, but look, Colorado's a damn good team too, so I'd rather play Colorado. I don't want to play Marquette. But yeah, you got to respect who's in front of you. Colorado's a good team. They're here for a reason. So, and hell, we're here for a reason. We'll see. I'm a little nervous, though, if it's Marquette.
Yeah. How's the rest of your bracket looking?
All right, so I made four brackets, and very uncharacteristic of me, it was like an hour before the tip for the very first game, and I had still not made a bracket. And usually I go, like, very, you know, intense detail, look at all these teams, all these matchups, all this stuff. Like, the Oral Roberts here, I called that one. I was, like, super proud of me. That's one of my highlights. This year, I did not do that. I did four brackets all within, like, an hour before the tip. One, I took very serious that I picked Auburn to win the championship. That obviously is doing terrible. Another one I took kind of serious. That one's not doing great. Another one I just kind of was, like, having fun with it. And I did a logo bracket as my fourth one. My logo bracket, yeah, thank you. My logo bracket is absolutely killing it, and it makes no sense. Like, I got Creighton winning it all with their logo. I got Duke in the Final Four with them. I did, however, pick Drake in the logo bracket, and so unfortunately they're out. But yeah, that's how stupid March is sometimes.
I don't agree with your Duke opinion on that logo, but whatever. The Creighton one is a bad.
Yeah. I got rid of, for all the fans listening at home, I don't really like the one-letter logos. It's really hard for me to get into those. But for me, Duke, the way the D looks, I do like that. It's a classic look.
Confirm. Matt likes the D. I'm going to play this Jay Wright clip. I just clipped it when Matt was talking. So here's Jay Wright yesterday after the game. I hope the audio sounds okay. Well, that did not work very well.
Come on, Jamie.
Yeah. That did not work very well. sorry about that.
Post-production.
Yeah. This is the level you get here, the free podcast. last minute planning. But I really want to get that clip. I'll run it for the next time. I'll get it proper. Jay Wright was spot on. I just want everybody to scream that from the mountaintops there. I don't know. State's got Colorado and Marquette next. I don't know what else we want to bring up here.
I think. No, I mean, we'll prep, you know, for whoever we do end up playing in this Sweet 16 matchup, and I'm sure we'll have something later in the week just basically dissecting this team. Would love to get another podcaster for whoever we do pull. That was fun with the Texas Tech guys.
Yeah, those guys are good. Marquette's up 5 now. Yeah. I got a feeling we're going to play Marquette. But one of the biggest things, and I just tweeted this out while I was waiting for you to jump on, but one of the biggest things that I've noticed about the way this team has been playing has been the shot selection. We've harped on it all year. Stop taking tough mid-range shots, two-pointers, right? Take threes or layups. And that's what we've been doing. If you look at the shot charts from the last two games, it looks like everything we've been drooling over all year. It looks like an Alabama shot chart where mm-hmm. they don't take any mid-range shots. It's layups, dunks, or three-pointers. And to me, there's a correlation to the success they're having in how they're playing, right? They're playing inside out for the most part. And I know we're not a team full of shooters, but O'Connell's been serviceable. DJ Horn is usually a fantastic shooter. That's good enough to work it inside out. And if you can get a little bit from DR, if you can get a little bit from Taylor, you know, without being forceful, you get a little bit from Marcel if he's, you know, set and not taking turnaround fadeaway two-pointers. But you get a little bit from all those guys along with your, you know, couple horses. And this team can really play with a lot of people. And it's exciting, man. And that's... I don't know what clicked there or what they, you know, what the players or how they're coaching them or what they're telling them to do with the game planning. But I think something is different, right? The shot charts are, I mean, I need to just pull them all from all year and just put them next to each other. And it's staggering how different they are. And even last night, Oakland playing that 1-3-1 zone, which you don't see very often. And they were double and triple teaming Burns anytime he got the ball. But State did a good job of kept the ball moving. There wasn't a lot of hero ball. Wasn't a lot of ISO. It was, you know, pass, 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 open shot, pass, 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 open shot. And, like, doing the things we want you to do or we've been saying they should be doing, you know, that just the fundamentals that these good teams are, you know, how they're playing. State's doing that over this run. I think that there's a direct correlation to why they're winning. I think it's just it's something has changed, and I'm here for it. I'm not going to dig too deep on why or what or the past. I'm here for it because they are playing good basketball, and it's a lot of fun.
Yep. Yeah. They're on a revenge tour. Since March 12th, they have not lost a game.
I love it. Let's keep it up. Pack will play Thursday night. I think somebody said 7:15.
Friday. Tip.
Friday night?
I think it's Friday night. I might be wrong, but I think it's Friday night.
Okay. Well.
Hold on.
I'm sure y'all see the time, so don't rely on me. Anyway.
March 29th.
March 29th? Yeah, Tuesday. Thursday. Yeah, so Friday. Friday night. Perfect.
Cool.
All right, Pack plays Friday night, hopefully Colorado, but it might be Marquette. This game's going back and forth, three-point game at the moment. Enjoy the run, folks. Like, just that's all I can say is enjoy it, man. It's been a lot of fun. Bobcat has been unbelievable. It's great to watch the games and, you know, talk about our bets and whatever else with everybody in there. It's been a lot of fun. I know everybody should just enjoy this ride and enjoy this run. I hope they keep it up, you know. Get back to the way they were playing before, and man, I'm here for it. One other thing, I keep thinking of these things. Keats said yesterday that Michael Connell finally has a voice, and I need to hear the whole context of it. But I just saw the quote. He said, "O'Connell's been playing better since he got a voice." I don't know what happened. Maybe it's just he had to earn it with the guys, and they kind of get that. But it's 30-some games in the season. Maybe he had to hit some shots or do some things that he hadn't been doing. But to me, he has been the difference maker in the last couple of games. He's played a lot of minutes. He's played with his head up. He's hit some shots. He's been, you know, that we talked about the clutch layup at the end of the shot clock. That was absolute game-changer yesterday or something. Yeah. I'm from the coaches and players now.
Yeah. I mean, he's quite literally saved our season multiple times in the last handful of days. I'm, you know, everybody wants to pull up old tweets and all that stuff. Maybe I need to pull up some old tweets because I was very into us getting O'Connell because, like you said, I like a pass-first point guard. Right now would be a good time to pull up some old tweets that I had about him. I gotta go find those.
He's been good. You know, he last month or so, he's been shooting well. He's just been playing well. And I just love the way he runs a break. Honestly, yeah. He's dribbling down the court with his head up. He's looking to push the ball forward. And that changes how this team runs and how this team plays when you have a guy that can direct it. And even last night, I started noticing the ball always made its way back to him, right? Before, that was like get it to DJ Horn and let him kind of create. But yesterday, when they're against playing that zone in particular, that ball moved around a lot, and it always ended up back with O'Connell.
In two tournament games, he has 14 assists, only three turnovers. Three turnovers also were just committed last night against Oakland, so not too bad.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. He's been, you know, again, listen to what the coaches and what the stuff is coming that's saying, and like trying to put all these pieces together. But O'Connell, to me, he's been clutch lately. Anyway, I wanted to point that out because Keith said that, and I saw that quote, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. But anyway. All right, we'll be back later in the week, find out our opponent, see how the brackets settle out. The women are doing well. They're on to the second round now, third round now. They just beat Chattanooga. Must be a third. Must be Sweet 16 as well. Baseball just took the series from Duke. It was a very Wolfpack esque weekend. Gymnastics team won the ACC championships, which they usually do. Yeah.
What is going on in NC State world, man?
I love it, dude. 24 is our year.
So 24.
Dorn, let's go. You're up next. Hell, even, you know, I've talked about my brother a lot in this podcast over the years. He's been one of the most critical doubters, right? He's that generation that went to school during the Les Robinson years, right? And they didn't see anything good under the Sendek years. Even he texted me last night and was like, what in the hell is happening? I don't know what happened, but this is great. Like, he's fired up about it, right? That's like my barometer for like, all right, times are changing. But 24, let's go. I'm 24.
Just so you know, it is a tie game, 74-74, 3 minutes to go.
Let's go. All right. Ending this podcast, so I'm going to watch to see who our next opponent is. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the pod. Jump in the pod chat. Somebody else wanted me to push this because we want more people interacting there. There's, you know, 100 of us in there, and it's been fantastic. It's a really fun place to watch the game, interact, and get, you know, thoughts and stuff from everybody. But yeah, if you're looking for somewhere to watch the game or somewhere to interact with folks, you know, jump on in. But as always, we will talk to y'all soon. Go Pack.